Good morning and welcome to this episode of the Ad Drop Podcast. As we continue our spin through the world of college sports, may please be joined by the head baseball coach at Moravian, Douglas Coat. Coach, how are you this morning?
I'm doing pretty well, Terrence. I appreciate it.
No problem. When did you know that baseball would be your path?
I don't know if there's a specific day. I like to start that story. My mom was pregnant, 8 months pregnant, playing softball 5 days a week. So I don't know if I actually had a much of a say in it. My grandpa was a coach. My mom played, obviously, for many years, and then it was just something that I grew up in. I'd sit with my grandma in the stands and all the games and watch and learn and watch my grandpa coach. So it was just a passion of mine early on, and almost all my memories, at least on the sports fields and family, to be honest with you, have all revolved around the many different baseball fields and softball fields in Wisconsin. And I'm just very fortunate to be able to make that a career, and now it's something I get to do every day, which I'm very fortunate, very lucky to be able to be a part of.
What drew you to Stevens Point as your destination for school?
Stevens Point was actually my third school. I went to Lawrence University for the first year and a half, and I went to a junior college in Arizona as well. So it was honestly, it was education first for Point. I wanted to be an elementary school teacher. I wanted to work with kids. I wanted to be a role model for them. And that was one of the specialties at Stevens Point. Obviously, their baseball program is and has been one of the better in the country. So working with or playing for Coach Bloom and my teammates there, and obviously the privilege of playing with Jordan Zimmerman while he was in college there as well, allowed us to do a lot of awesome things. As a team and individually. So it was close enough to for home for my family to be able to be at everything, but it was just far enough away that I was able to learn to be an adult and make some mistakes, but always having the family umbrella close. So I'm proud to be a Pointer and to graduate there and be able to be a small part of the legacy of the baseball program.
Being a catcher means you see everything as far as everything in front of you. What does it take mentally to play the position well?
I think that that's definitely one of the unspoken things of a baseball team is the importance of a catcher and someone that, can build the trust of all their teammates, but more importantly, be able to build that trust with the coaching staff. In a way of they trust that you're going to be that coach on the field, be able to see everything, be able to try and play the game of making teams do what you want them to do. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But I took a great pride in being the hardest worker. Like you said, everybody I can see everybody, but that means everybody else can see me. And I took a great pride in not taking a play off. I blocked every ball, whether someone was on base or not, because I wanted to show my teammates that I'm out there ready working for them. And and our expectations were you work for each other as well. So, lead by example. And being able to put everybody at ease, I think was another important thing that guys knew what their jobs were, and all we had to do was do them.
What's easier to teach? A catcher with poor footwork but a cannon of an arm, or a catcher with outstanding footwork but an average to below average arm?
Easier to coach. That's a good one because obviously each one of them are going to be able to overcome certain things. If you got a cannon of an arm, that's a skill that not many people have. The upside of that is immense, and I would say I'd probably enjoy coaching that more because we can do things with feet. We can adjust things. We can make you quicker, make you more efficient. It's hard to make a cannon of an arm. So I'm going to say it's more fun to coach somebody with an arm. You can do more things with them. But that's the glory of coaching too, is you get to work on the other side and try and maximize what both guys are good at. So personally, I would take the guy with the arm, But both of them, when you get them out on the field, it's to me, it's equally enjoyable to watch them both be able to play something that they love at the college level.
Being from Wisconsin, playing there, going to school there, coaching there, what is it about Wisconsin baseball and softball that people outside of the state don't really understand?
Well, right now they got about inches of snow on the ground still. And we're very fortunate. We don't have any snow on the outside right now in Bethlehem. So it really is a different kind of baseball. And you can ask any of the coaches on the East Coast that have played WIAC schools, Midwest schools, their attention to detail, their fundamentals are typically very high. Just because there's no other option. You're not outside much. I remember times where when we get to Florida middle of March, that was the first time that we've been on a baseball field. It was not unheard of to go to parking lots, which I know, if you ask all the coaches, if you've been coaching long enough, they've all done it. Everybody has. But it's longer there, in my opinion. So it's just a different way of playing. And it makes it fun, but it also, makes it challenging for other schools to play just because of how we played. We're typically bigger. The last stop I was at up at Cortland State with Coach Brown, which was a huge part of my coaching experiences and learning from him. He always joked that when they would play a WIAC school, it was like lumberjacks, just giant men on the other side of the field from them. And it's just the makeup of it is typically a little different. So it's not something that I would change. And those are great experiences to bring over here.
Now, when you look at just the coaching position, the coaching, let's kind of take it back to your playing days. Can you remember your last hit?
I can. It was in a regional down in Illinois. My senior year, and it was honestly just a duck snort to right field, was my last collegiate hit, my last collegiate at bat. Definitely not, we ended not the right way. In our eyes, we were hoping to go back to the World Series for a third year in a row, but not everybody gets to go out, the way they want to, that fairy tale ending. So yeah, I actually remember that day. And that bus ride home. It's something I try and instill in my players that you don't know exactly when your career ends. You don't know when your playing days are done. It could be tomorrow, it could be at the end of the season. You just never know. You got to take it all by giving everything you got, and you want the best memories you can.
If there were an alumni game, it's been about 15 years since you graduated. Could you still step behind the plate and give us a game?
I would definitely try. I'm stubborn enough to try. I just had my knee fully replaced, so I have a new titanium knee, and I think that my actual days of playing and doing anything more than hitting a fungo or throwing batting practice are pretty well done. I'm happy with being in the coaching ranks. There are certain days where I'm like, was this all worth it? The rehab and stuff personally, but I know I wouldn't change it for the world, and just to see my boys and my teammates, I know would be a blast for all of us, and see where we all are now.
Now, with that said, in that game, if you're up to bat, and would you just try to get on base, or would you aim for the fences?
Oh, there's no just getting on base. If I'm gonna go out there, if I'm gonna give it one more hee-ho, I'm going for it all, so I'm going to try and hit it to the softball field and left, back home at Stevens Point. But I'm definitely giving it three good hacks. I'm not going for a single here.
Yo, when we come back from break, I want to talk about the path of a Raven and kind of where you see things going now for the program and in the future. But that's after a quick timeout. You are listening to the Ad Drop Podcast on the FPC Radio Network. We are back with Ad Drop Podcast. Terrence Biggs, Douglas Coe, the head baseball coach at Moravian. Coach, two-part question. When you accepted the head coaching spot, What was the first thing you wanted to accomplish as far as trying to put your stamp on the program, and how'd you celebrate?
What I really wanted to do is just change the culture to something that I've always believed in. That's just, playing for each other, hard work, expectations, probably unrealistic for any team, but to me and the way that I was brought up and raised and all the experience I've had on baseball field, you got to be striving for something. And I told our guys, so there's talent. The difference between usually the teams that are done in beginning of May and the teams that are done in the middle of June are consistency and the trust they have between each other and their coaching staff. Doesn't mean that you got to like everybody, but we really want it to be a family atmosphere. Brothers don't always get along, but they're always there to fight for each other and stand shoulder to shoulder. So that was the biggest thing, is just try and build those relationships right from the beginning, build that trust. And that doesn't come out overnight. So it's taken a process, and even through now, I think we're close with the trust of players trusting me trusting them. But that's something that you got to build. As for celebrating, I honestly, it was trying to find a house from Cortland, New York to Bethlehem, Pennsylvania was how my family did. Obviously, it was a huge honor, and I'm very appreciative of Mary Beth Burke and Rebecca May, Brim McNamara, the ADs here, and Brian Grigsby, our president, to trust me with leading this program and being the face of the baseball program here at Moravian. But I knew that that was the first step and the first day of a long process, and trying to get our program through recruiting, bringing in some of my two assistant coaches that, put in more work than I think even they realize, and how appreciative I am of their work for the program and for our players. But it was getting down here and getting ready to work.
What makes the landmark so difficult as far as the competition level?
You don't have a day off. Especially this year, we added Wilkes and Lycoming colleges, universities to our conference. So now we're looking at having a conference series Friday, Saturday, Sunday, depending on the week, right into another conference game on Tuesday or Wednesday. There are no off days. You go against Juniata, you go against Scranton Catholic, you name it, Etown. Every single day you go on the field with a landmark team, you're going into a battle. And that was something that I learned real quick last year. And the importance of doing your job, and that's something that I stress to our guys. If you get off of your job just for a second, any one of our teams in this conference will take advantage of it, and now you're losing. And they typically don't give you anything easy. So we have to be able to do our jobs every day. Come out to compete every day, whether that's Drew, Wilkes, Lycoming, Eton, you name it, Catholic. It's a game, and you got to be ready to go.
We know that when recruiting, coaches want the measurables, power, speed. What intangible must a player have to be able to suit up for you?
That's one of the things that coaches don't usually know how to put a word on. And I don't know if I know either. It's definitely something that when you sit down with a kid and a family and you ask them questions, you ask them about themselves, what are things that they think coaches should know about them? You turn around and you ask parents, what's something that you think your son needs to do better? What do you think your son does well? Just probing questions in a sense of just trying to get to know them more. Their answers speak a lot for who they are as people. You can have a guy that throws 9 miles an hour, and while he might help your program, is he going to be somebody that you can build your program with? And I think that sometimes, talent and stuff is taken a little bit too far because maybe the kid doesn't fit in well with your culture. the trust of the program, the trust between people. So that has something to do with their athletic department as a whole as well. So, I look for good people. I need young men, families that are coming in here ready to work. They're not happy with where they have been. They don't rest on their laurels. They go and they want to continually get better in the classroom and on the baseball field. And we were very fortunate. We had the second ranked GPA in the athletic department this past year as a baseball program in the fall at a 3.26. So we're very proud of what we've done in the classroom. We still have room to improve, but those are all aspects that I look for in a young man to come and play in our program.
When you're not on the field, when you're not recruiting or even in the office, how do you get away from the game?
Honestly, it's spending time with my wife and my daughter, Marcy and Kinsley. She's starting to get into sports herself. So while you say, how do I get away? Now it's going to a softball field. It's going to a basketball court and watching her play. Whether it's just for fun or she's, trying to compete and making her way. So family is huge in my life. And I tell that with my assistants too. When you leave here, when we have off, be with family. You have to have that balance. And sometimes the best thing for you as a coach is to get away from the game, and not think about it for a day. Much easier said than done, but being around Marcy and Kinsley, those are the rocks that get me away from the game a little bit, make me forget some of the stresses that come along with being a head coach. But then seeing them on game days and seeing my daughter interact with my players, that's why we do it. That's the family that I want here and that we've been able to build, and all the players know who she is, and that fills my heart, and that's why I do what I do.
If you had a choice between a brat and
Oh,
a Friday fish fry, because tomorrow is Friday,
come
which would you
on,
have?
that's tough. Oh boy, Friday fish fry or a brat? You can't go wrong with either. If you're gonna force me to pick one right now, I go Friday fish fry. Back in one of the good old taverns in Wisconsin with an old fashioned. Nothing beats that, but at a ball game, watching the Brewers, watching the Phillies, whoever's on, wherever ballpark you're fortunate enough to be in, having a broad is second to none.
Back home, who made the best brats and which place had the best fish fry?
Best brats would have to be my grandma and grandpa would have a brat fry every once in a while. More times than not, we went to one because we like to at least give back. Some of the grocery stores would have brat fries every Thursday, so we would go there. Festival was a good grocery store that would have brat fries, so those were. I remember countless days going with them to that brat fry. Friday fish. That'd have to be the Colonial House, small place just outside of Appleton, Wisconsin, where I grew up. What was a great supper club and tavern. So we frequented that quite a bit growing up after a mom softball game or after just a long week. That's where we would go. My brothers, mom, dad. It was a great time.
Now, you mentioned watching the Brewers. Do you think that they're headed in the right direction?
It's a very unique situation. Obviously, Corbin Burnes left. Pitching staff is something that I think is important to be able to get anywhere. So the young guys are going to have to obviously step up with Coach Council, shift into the dark side, to the Cubs. I think they got a great situation there. I know they just picked up Gary Sanchez and Rhys Hopkins, so I think they're definitely going to be able to score some runs. The pitching staff is going to be interesting. So that we'll have to see in spring training. But I think they're trying the right way. I think they've put pressure on teams in the right way, and Now it's see what the guys do, and hopefully the injury bug doesn't come.
You could prevent one brewer from having an injury to sort of end his career. Who would it be? Ryan Braun or I'll go with Prince Fielder. I know he retired in Texas, but just say for injury's sake.
I think, in my personal opinion, I'll probably create an uproar in Wisconsin. I thought what Prince had and the impact that he had consistently wise, in my opinion, I would go with him. I know Ryan was there for a long time, and I know he made a comment over the fall or winter time that no one with number 8 impacted the Brewers as much as he did over his time, but. I would go with Prince. I thought he brought a lot of excitement, a lot of extra juice to Milwaukee and to Wisconsin. So I'll go with Prince.
He is the head baseball coach at Monrovia University. Douglas Hill, coach, thank you so much for joining us on this episode of the AirDrop Podcast.
I appreciate it. Thank you.